I believe with all of my heart that the Word of God is everything we need to know about life and godliness. And I do believe that the problem that most people are having today, that they're not willing to spend the time and labor in studying God's Word. And I will trust, as I always do in opening the Bible, that the Holy Spirit will be our teacher. I have no interest in preaching the doctrine of men. I have no interest in, you know, a pet doctrine. I have no interest in any particular slant. You know, many people are always trying to prove that their church is right and that their doctrine is right and so forth. And I do believe there is a true doctrine, and that true doctrine is in Scripture. And I don't say that I fully understand it, because I'm continuing to learn. I don't think a day goes by that when I open the Word of God that I don't learn, because first thing I do is I pray and ask the Holy Spirit to be my teacher. And that a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what we're promised in Scripture. And so it doesn't happen overnight. It takes study, just the same as if somebody is going to be adept at any profession, they need to continue to study their profession. Well, we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, that a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing a word of truth, but also so that we can be very adept at our profession of faith in Christ, that we understand what it is to be a Christian apologist. We're not apologizing for being Christians. We know and have an explanation of this faith that's in us. And there's great confusion in our society right now, great confusion in the church. There's a lot of celebrity worship in the church, where people are following men instead of following the Lord. And it's not to say that there aren't men and women amongst us who can't teach us, because Scripture does tell us we should look to those that are elders and those that are experienced in the things of the Lord to learn from. But it doesn't take the place for being an adult, so to speak, in the Word and chewing the meat of the Word. So, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify your holy name, and we're thankful, Lord, that we can come together and worship you. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will be our teacher. We want to know the Word of God. We know it's everything we need to know about life and godliness. And without your Word, Lord, we would not know the things that you have for us. Thank you that you have given us a written Word to study. And we thank and praise you in your name, Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, I want to look today at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And the reason I want to do that, of course, is because there's some contents in this passage of Scripture, in this chapter of Scripture, that fits nicely into the time period that we're in right now, being Labor Day weekend. Which, of course, and I'm not going to go into the history of Labor Day weekend, but it's not, I mean, we as Americans love our holidays, and of course, to us, it's the end of summer, pretty much. It's really not. The end of summer is not till September the 20th, but when fall starts. But it's the time when kids go back to school. And where did Labor Day actually come from? Something that probably we're not real enthusiastic about. The establishment of labor organizations that in many cases have not been very Christian and have certainly not been very biblical, and in many ways have aided in government being expanded and expensive and so forth and so on. So as we're reading in the Word today, starting at verse 1, and because there are so many of us, I'm just going to ask you to follow along. I'm reading in the Geneva Bible, which I like to read from for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is that our founding fathers, when they were studying the Word of God, they studied it in the King James translation and also the Geneva Bible. And so many of the laws that were brought about, many of the foundational documents, are based on Scripture. And I had somebody the other day was sharing a testimony with me of how much, when they're in a court and so forth, they can see the structure, even though the courts have gotten messed up in many ways, but the structure that we have is biblically based. Our government has a structure that's biblically based. Our founding fathers said, well, is there any better way to order the way people live their lives than the way that the Lord has given us in His Word. And the truth of the matter is, there is no better way. So let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, and I'm reading from the Geneva Bible. "Furthermore, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free passage and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and evil men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, which will establish you and keep you from evil. And we are persuaded of you through the Lord that ye both do and will do the things which we warn you of. And the Lord guide your hearts to the love of God and the waiting for of Christ. We warn you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walked inordinately and not after the instruction which ye received of us. For ye yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves inordinately among you. Neither took we bread of any man for naught, but we wrought with labor and travail night and day, because we would not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not authority, but that we might make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we warned you of, that if there were any which would not work, that he should not eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you inordinately, and work not at all, but are busybodies. Therefore, them that are such, we warn and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that they work with quietness and eat their own bread. And ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. If any man obey not this our saying in this letter, note him, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Ye count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now the Lord himself of peace give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Well, I'm sure that you took note, depending on what translation that you're reading from, that the word work is mentioned there, and labor is mentioned numerous times in this passage of Scripture. And of course, as the apostle is mentioning here, and this is a Pauline epistle written to the church at Thessalonica in Greece, why would it be necessary to write this? Well, because of human nature, because of the fallen nature of man, there are times when people do not do what they're supposed to do. The question is for a lot of people, well, who can tell me what to do? We've had mention here of libertarians and people that are anarchists and people that are think that they know exactly what they're supposed to be doing all the time. Well, I would not know what I'm supposed to be doing except that I know the Word of God and have the leading of the Holy Spirit. And incidentally, the Holy Spirit is not going to lead you in any way that is not in keeping with the Word of God and the doctrine of the Bible. The Bible does speak. See, many people are saying that they're being led of the Holy Spirit, yet their leading of the Holy Spirit, so-called, can't be the Holy Spirit because it's not in keeping with the Word. The Holy Spirit is the one that delivered to those that were the gospel writers and throughout the Bible, all these different authors, so to speak, it was the Holy Spirit giving that word. How did the Heavenly Father send His word to us? Our Father sent His word through men, and of course many people denigrate the Bible by saying it's just a book that men wrote. But it isn't a book that men wrote. It's a book that men were inspired by the Holy Spirit, as if they were the secretary of the Holy Spirit. We call that a fancy word, amanuensis. As if they were the amanuensis of the Holy Spirit, in other words, like the secretary. And when a secretary comes into her boss and takes dictation, And so here we're being told that there were people in Thessalonica right then who were lazy, they wouldn't work, they didn't want to follow right instruction, yet they were attached to the church, they could be considered brethren, but don't pay attention to them and do what they're doing. And all of us, and of course your children that are amongst us today, you have influenced by other children, and your parents will say, well, you know, those are your friends, and they can be your friends, but that doesn't mean that what they're doing is what you should be doing. What we as Christians should be doing is what the Lord has told us we should be doing. And of course, it says, here that we, in verse 7, for ye yourselves know that how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves inordinately among you. In other words, they gave an example. Now, this is a challenge to us. The challenge to us as Christians is to give an example to people around us. And I had this conversation the other day about why America has been so prosperous in the past and why we are losing our prosperity. America was prosperous because America joined in many respects with the Protestant Reformation, where the idea was, and it's a Calvinist doctrine, the doctrine of vocational theology, that whatever you do for work, if you're a mechanic, do it the best of your ability with all of your strength as unto the Lord, and do a lot of it. If you're a carpenter, if you're a lawyer, if you're a doctor, if you're a mother, if you're a father, whatever you do it to the best of your ability, asking the Lord to help you, following the way that's been established for us in Scripture. I mean, how would anyone know how to be a father or a mother? It's all in Scripture. How would you know to be a husband or a father, or a husband or a wife? It's in Scripture. How do you know how to be the right child, the way a child's supposed to be? It's in Scripture. How do you know how to do a job right or run a business right? It's in Scripture. How do you handle money correctly? It's in Scripture. All these things are here in the Word of God for us to learn and to follow. So what the Holy Spirit was bringing through the Apostle Paul to the Church of Thessalonica, saying, look, we've set a good example for you. We didn't come in like a bunch of freeloaders and eat you out of house and home and leave you starving. No, we came in, we worked amongst you, we showed you the right thing. And not because we don't have authority, as it says there in verse 9, not because we have not authority, but that we might make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. And see, the authority they had, they could have come in and said, look, we're teaching elders. And the Bible says to us as teaching elders, you need to support us. And we should support those that are working in the gospel and those that are teaching us. But at the same time, they were not putting a burden on the church. And they were saying, hey, you see that we're diligent. You know, we're not just casual about what we do. And as we go down through those scriptures, 10, 11, and 12, we get to 12. In fact, let's back up to verse 11. For we hear that there are some which walk among you inordinately. Now that's a fancy word for saying they're out of order. They're not living like they should. They're not behaving the way they're supposed to. Their conduct and the way that they're behaving themselves is not right. And not work at all, but are busybodies. And so the idea, and this is what's happened in America, that a good portion...
What is the name of busybody?
I'm going to explain that. A busybody is somebody that instead of working and keeping themselves busy about what they're supposed to be doing, they're just talking a lot. You know, they're gossiping and they're just paying attention to stuff that's none of their business, things that they shouldn't be involved in, and it's taking them away. And there are many people like that. Instead of working, and I see some people at certain jobs, instead of doing their work that they're being paid for, they're just sitting down talking to each other. Say, wait a minute, we're not paying you to talk. Not many people get paid to talk. I guess preachers, in a sense, get paid to talk, and a few others, attorneys and whatever else. But for the most part, it means that if you're being paid to chop trees, then what are you doing sitting talking to everybody? You're here to chop trees. So a busybody is somebody that is not working. They're just bumping their gums. They're just talking, and they're busy about that. And they're usually gossiping and talking about stuff that's none of their business. So we're being told that. But one of the reasons why America has prospered so much is because America's had the Protestant work ethic, which for centuries did not happen in Europe where people basically did as little as they could. It hasn't happened in communist Russia or the communist socialist regime. In fact, I discussed this with a person the other day that said they're always trying to convince some of the people that they're working with to be productive. And they're saying, why? What's the sense of it? You know, we're going to get paid anyway. Well, in communist countries, many people were not very productive because they found out that if they worked hard, they didn't get paid any more or have anything more than the people that didn't work hard. Well, that's not fair and it's not biblical. If we look at the parable of the 10 talents, the person with the 1 talent who buried it and didn't use it and put it to work had that talent taken away, and the person that had the 10 talents was given more because they were utilizing what they had. So this is a message for all of us, and you children better be listening to this. Because if you want to accomplish something in life, you've got to work hard. And you got to work smart. And you got to work in the direction that the Lord gives you. That's what He said to do. Now here's the way we're supposed to treat somebody who spends their time talking when they're supposed to be working. See? When they're fooling around. And see, and maybe it's not that. Maybe they're just fooling around with games. Maybe they're always watching TV. And we have half the people in America today that in one way or another are receiving some kind of welfare payment. And by the way, the Constitution of the United States does not authorize the federal government to take money from hardworking people and give it to people who aren't working. We as Christians are willing to help those in need. We as Christians give of our tithes and our offerings and our missions money, or if we can help somebody who's hungry. I've always had a plan, or I should say a methodology, no matter where I go in the country, if somebody comes out to me and they're a street person, they're dirty and have no place to stay, whatever, they ask me for money, I don't give them money. I tell them, I'll take you and I'll buy you. If you're hungry, I'll buy you food. The Lord says to feed the hungry, feed the poor, and so forth and so on. A lot of them will say, no, I don't want the money. I mean, I don't want the food, I want the money. Which they're probably going to go out and buy liquor or whatever. And the Lord doesn't tell us to go buy liquor or cigarettes or drugs or stuff like that for people. And I've also had many of these people have said, well, you look like you're fit enough. Why don't you come and do some work and I'll pay you? Oh, no, I want you to give me something. So this is the ethic that we've had in America that made us prosperous, is that people could get land. That's why many people have come to this country, because they didn't have those opportunities in other countries. They couldn't get a hold of land. It was all belonged to the king or belonged to the royalty, and they couldn't buy land for themselves, or they couldn't farm their own land. And they come to America, get a piece of land, be able to work it and make money and invest that money or whatever, and that they could prosper from it. But now we have people that are there collecting food stamps, collecting welfare payments and so forth, that many of them could work. And they're not willing to. There are some, however, that are disabled and can't work. I do know that. And we want to help them. But it doesn't help people to just put them in a situation where they don't obey the words of the Lord here. So this is how we treat them. What does it say? In verse 12. Therefore, them that are such, we warn and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that they work with quietness and eat their own bread. I have always only wanted in my life to be able to eat the bread that I earn with my own two hands. Through the work that the Lord has done. Each one of us has been called, Lord, to a different type of work. But work is important. Work is part of life, and when we can see it as doing it as unto the Lord, then it becomes much more pleasant. Many people, all they want is holidays. All they want is days off. Well, how about being able to work and to be able to earn? And if the government would get out of the way and stop taking away people's substance to give to somebody else. But if we find somebody who's a man who could work, or a person that could work and they won't, they're not supposed to eat. See? We're not supposed to. If any man obey not this our saying in this letter, note him. And have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Lazy people, or sloth, or people who will not work and will not labor, are people who are not going to accomplish anything. And for you children, you need to be accomplishing things now in your studies so that you can be what the Lord wants you to be. And sometimes it means sweating. Sometimes it means getting tired. Sometimes it means that your back hurts a little bit. Sometimes it means your muscles are sore. But the Lord wants us to do that. For we hear that there are some which walk among you inordinately and work not at all, but are busybodies. Therefore, them that are such, we warn and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that they work with quietness and eat their own bread. And ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Now that's a passage of scripture that shows up in Galatians chapter 6 as well. And in the witness of two scriptures, or the two witness scripture situation, when you see something written twice in scripture, you know that that's very important. Be not weary in well-doing. If you're working hard, don't be weary in that. Get your rest, get your sleep. Be glad you have the opportunity. I have people saying, oh, I had to work. Well, there's only one thing worse than that. Not working. Being able to work and to make a living and have bread to eat is a wonderful thing. Okay? And so if there's somebody in the King James that says, a man who will not work should not eat. So if we're not willing to work, yes, Sean? Well, it's good to have an ambition, and the Lord, you know, in your young age, you may try out some things and find out that isn't what the Lord wants you to do, but in the meanwhile, you can work around the house, you can help your parents, or help your parent, you can keep things clean, you can keep things nice, you can accomplish things that need to be accomplished. That's good. That's good. It also says that this person that you have to note, don't treat him like an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. See? Now the Lord himself of peace give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, that is a type of benediction. It's a type of a closing prayer. This is the Apostle Paul pronouncing a blessing on the people, but it also is an example, too. If we are going to work and work effectively, if we're going to have things grow, and sometimes things take a long time to grow. Sometimes we plant them and we have to wait and we have to keep pulling weeds and we have to work along. Some things grow because we're willing to stay at it. And as the exhortation that we have in Scripture there, verse 13, be not weary in well-doing. And of course, we're also told in Galatians 6, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Only the Lord knows the season. But one thing's for sure, if you don't work, you're not going to have a harvest. If you don't plant, you won't have a harvest. If you talk about it and say, oh, well, I can't go out, it's too hot today, or it's too cold today, or it's raining, or it's too sunny, or it's too windy, or there's a lion out on the street. There are many reasons and excuses people give for not working. Or I'm tired today, or I want to stay in bed longer. Scripture points out in numerous places in the book of Proverbs, for example, that the sluggard or the slothful person spends too much time in bed rolling over, looks out the window, oh no, I can't do it today. And see, the Lord blesses work. Now, if he calls you to fast and to pray, you do that, and that can be work. But most of the time, he doesn't call us to fasting and pray on a long-term basis, like a lifetime basis. He calls it for a period of time so we can get more focused. But that's why America has prospered, and if America wants to prosper again, then we have to teach people to work. And we have to teach people to work not only smart. Some people think smart work, well, that's good, but also hard work. And then we produce, and we're productive, and see if you're ever going to own a business. Do you want people to want to collect a paycheck and take their benefits and yet they don't produce anything? Of course not. Because after a while you go out of business, you lose your capital because you've got employees that don't care enough to work to earn. And I understand right now that there's some movement across the country to strike against fast food restaurants because so many people go to fast food restaurants to eat. And that the workers want to strike and get $15 an hour. $15 an hour for frying burgers or, you know, pulling French fries out of the fryer later or whatever else. Well, I don't know if they're going to get $15 an hour, but the point is to get $15 an hour would mean you at least have to be productive probably five times that much. If you get paid $15 an hour, you need to produce $75 an hour or more. By today's standard with taxes and benefits and everything else, probably somebody being paid $15 an hour needs to produce probably up close to 10 times that much. They need to produce $150 an hour. Yes, Sean?
But how much money does it make steaming crabs?
Picking crabs?
Steaming crabs?
Not a whole lot.
Well, probably not a whole lot. If you caught the crabs yourself, if you steamed the crabs yourself, and if you picked the crabs and got the crab meat out of them, you make more. But some jobs don't require a whole lot of work. Some jobs don't require a whole lot of strength or intelligence to do. And so those kind of jobs obviously are not going to pay quite so much. You know, people do complain about how much is paid with the sports figures and everything, and it does seem pretty ridiculous compared to what, you know, some other people that might be risking their lives, whether it be soldiers or police officers or school teachers or whatever else may be paid. But the truth of the matter is, many of the people that go out on that football field, there are people paying to see them, and they're glad that they're out there. And some of them may go out on the football field, and in no time at all, their life might be over. Their bodies get crushed and whatever. So people set standards of pay that don't make a lot of sense to us, but generally speaking, it's paid according to productivity would be best. Years ago, Lincoln Welder was a company that decided that they wanted to go on a productivity basis. And they said to the people, we're not paying any salaries, we're not paying hourly wage or anything, we're paying according to the piece that you produce. And you can work any time you want, you can work any hours you want, you can work as many hours as you want, and for each of these Lincoln Welders that you build or each thing that you do that we need done, you will be paid according to productivity. Well, it gave people the opportunity to make a lot of money, but it also boosted the profits of the company phenomenally. Because there were mothers, that single mothers, that went to work when their kids were in bed and you know, they had a neighbor watch the children or something at night, and they worked through the night or something and were paid for productivity, not just how many hours working at the corner store. And people made money and they were happy with that, productivity. And that's what will bring back productivity and prosperity to America, and it's a biblical principle. Okay, so everybody's listening to this, and you young people, you kids, understand, if you don't work, you will not eat. And if you don't work, you won't have anything to eat. Unless, of course, you go begging on the street, or unless you sign up for, well, because you don't work, you don't help your dad at home. Yeah, that's right. And so you're learning as you're getting older to work more, to help more, to be more productive. That's important. Well, let's pray.
Hi.
Yes, good. Well, Father, we thank you that you have called upon us to be productive as soul winners for you, for the kingdom of God, not only for the kingdom of God, but for our own families, for our country. We do pray for our beloved America that we would become a prosperous nation again, not through fiat currency, not through cheating anyone, not through giving away what isn't ours, not from debt, but through real productivity. We thank you, Lord, that those people in this country that Will not work should be identified and exhorted and shown the benefits of working. We thank you within the church that we would teach the right situation, teaching our children to work and work well, to work hard, to work smartly, so that they can eat. And I know, Lord, that throughout my life I've sure liked to eat a lot. So that's why I've had to work a lot and been glad to do it and find joy in not being weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And thank you that you have sent us your word here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, closing off with verse 18, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. It's by your grace that we can do any good thing. And we thank you for that, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray, amen and amen. Glory to your holy name, Jesus.